We begin the current daf, Mesechta Bamitzvah, daf Samachay. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues on a topic related to this parak of the halachas of Ribbis, specifically relating to a halacha that we mentioned in daf Samach Aleph, that there was a halacha that Rabbi Elazar said that when there's Ribbis Kitzutza, when there's biblical Ribbis, then we actually go and we take that interest that was given to the lender and we take it back from him and we give it back to the borrower. So regarding that type of a context, the Gemara says, Amar Abaya. Abaya says, Hayman de masik zuzi de ribisa bechabri. Someone that was collecting money of interest from his friend. Now, the going price for wheat was arba grivi bezuzi beshuka. That for one zuz, you could buy 4 grivi, which is a certain type of a measurement, in the marketplace. Now, v'yov le'iyu chamisha. Now, the borrower, when he was paying the interest was this a certain amount of zuz. Instead of giving him that zuz would own 4 grivi, he actually gave him 5 grivi for that amount of interest. Says Abaye, so kimafkina minei, so when they go and they take away the ribis that the lender took to give it back to the borrower, again, as we said, which is the halach of Rabbi Elazar and of Samachal v'mabeis, that he said by ribis kitzutza, the courts take it away from him, and as the Gemara actually is going to say in Amud Beis, that's how we pass in the halach like him. So then says Abaye, arba mafkina minei. We only take away those 4 grivi of wheat from him, which is what the interest really was supposed to be, and we don't take away that 5th one. Because idach says Abaye, that extra grivi, the borrower just gifted that, he made it cheaper, he gave him more than what he was supposed to give him for the interest, in that terms of giving him wheat for that amount, he gave him an extra one, that was a gift, and therefore that was not what was charged for the interest, and therefore he doesn't have to give that back, that one he could keep. Now, Rav Amar, he disagrees. He says, Chamisha mafkinim minei. No, we take away all 5 grivi from him. Why? Because the mikara b'tayris rebisa soliyadi. And originally, when he got it, it was one gift, it was one transaction that he got from the borrower, which was a payment of interest. Now, although he gave him more than what he had to, but it was within that gift of the ribis, and since that whole transaction was forbidden, even what was given more than what was necessary, says Rav, you take away from him and you give it back to the borrower. Another halacha on this topic. Vamar Abaye, another teaching from Abaye says, Hayman de masik arba zuzi de ribis b'chaber. Again, someone that was collecting 4 zuz of ribis of interest from his friend. So the borrower, when he wanted to pay up the interest money, he gave him a cloak, a clothing instead that's worth that amount. So says Abaye, ki mafkin minei, when we take the money back from the lender, arba mafkin minei, we take 4 the 4 zuz back from him. But glima le mafkin minei, we don't take the garment that was paid by the borrower's interest. In other words, the transaction is valid. It's just the set amount of interest that has to be given back to the borrower. But the clothing which he got as the payment, he could keep that. He just has to give the money that back to the borrower. Whereas again here, Rav Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, glima mafkin minei. We take the actual article of clothing that was given to him for the interest and we give it back to the borrower. Says Rav Amar, well, what's the reason? So that people shouldn't come to say, glima de machasiv akoi, this garment that he's covering himself and that he's wearing now, this lender, glima de rabisu, has a garment of interest, which is a chil Hashem, because it's showing this flaunting of this violation that he did, although he gave the money back, but everyone knows that was the borrower's, and now suddenly he has it because he lent him on interest, and therefore says, Rabbi, you got to give the garment back to him. Another teaching on this topic, Omar Rabba, Rabba says another one, says, Hayman demastic traces zuzi derbisa bechavri. Someone was collecting from his friend 12 zuz worth of interest that he owes him from the loan. The agarle chotzer demezgar basar. So the borrower didn't have money, like in the previous cases, to pay him the interest. So what he did was, he leased out to the lender a courtyard that generally he would charge 10 zuz for. V'ogri na'le betracer. Now he owed this lender 12 zuz of interest. So he rented out, he says, you know, usually I charge 10 zuz a night, and I owe you 12 zuz, so I'll give you my room instead for the night. You'll have your, instead of 12 zuz, I'm going to give you my 10 zuz a night room. So it says, Rava, kimaf kinimine, when we take back the money, which was what the lender benefited, by taking interest, by using that room from the borrower, trace maf kinimine, we actually take back from him 12 zuz. Not 10 zuz, how much the room costed. We take back all the interest that he was collecting from the borrower by using his chatzar instead of taking money. Now that us amalei Rav Acham diftel Ravina, he says, but why? The lemalei, let the lender tell the borrower, wait a second. Ki agra hachi, when I rented for the interest money, your courtyard, instead of you giving me money, the have a kumishtar shili, because I was gaining, because it was all gain, it was all interest. So I was like, okay, you know, really owe me 12, you're offering me a room for 10, okay, I'll take it, because anyways, it's all gain for me. Hashdu lemishtar shili, but now that I'm not gaining, kada agri kule almahu da agrana, but at least, what did I get that I have to give back? I got a 10 zuz a day for the chatzar or the room, whatever it is that he took from the guy. At least take that back from me, because I'm paying more than most people pay now. You're saying that I collected the ribbis of 12 zuz, but I only took a room of 10 zuz. When I was getting it, fine, it was all gain. Fine, I'll take a 10 zuz. But now that you're collecting back from me, why should I pay more than most people? And that he answered, Mishum da'amale, because he tells him, the borrower tells to the lender, Savris for kabals. You thought about it and you accepted the terms, meaning you collected your 12 zuz interest with this 10 zuz chatzar for the day, and therefore now when the court is coming to collect back from you the interest, it's the 12 zuz of interest that you had taken from me with a chatzar of 10 zuz, and now you got to give me back to the borrower back 12 zuz, not just 10 zuz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. I'm going to continue on this topic of ribbis of a loan on interest. So the Mishnah tells us a differentiation between two types of payments which enter this arena of agrinatur. Agrinatur is the fundamental principle that underlies the prohibition of interest, which is that for waiting for the money that you gave to someone else, that is what you're getting extra money for, because he can use the money and until he gives you back, so he's paying you for that. That's the issur of interest. Same thing applies in different rabbinic situations, the same halachic concept of waiting for your money, hamtanis mois. If you get money for that, that's an iser, whether derais or derabanan of interest. So the Mishnah differentiates between two different cases. Mishnah tells us, marbin al hasachar. A person could increase the price that he's asking for when it comes to a rental. So for example, if let's say there's a delay of payment for something that he's renting to someone else, that he could charge more for. But ve'im marbin al hamecher. But you can't charge more for the delay of payment for something that you're selling to someone else. And the Gemara will explain the reason why there's a difference between rental and a sale. But the Mishnah explains ketzad. What are these cases of a rental and of a sale? So the Mishnah says, hisker lo yeschatzer. If someone leases out, he rents out his courtyard, his yard, his field to someone else. V'amaloi, and he tells him, look, I'll make a deal with you. If you give me all the money up front right now for the sale, for the rental of the year, harehu lach be'esa slam lashana. I'll give you a good deal, 10 slime for the year. Now, but for imshal chaydish b'chaydish, if you're not giving me all the money up front right now, but rather you're going to give me every single month for that month, for the year that you're taking the field, you're not going to give me up front all the money of the year, then you have to give me seller l'chaydish. You're going to have to give me a seller for every month, which is going to turn out to be 12 slime for the year, not just 10 slime. Says the Mishnah Mutter, that is permitted to do. That's why we say you're allowed to increase the price for delay of money. Meaning, if you're not getting the money up front, but rather going to be getting it every month, then you could charge more than what you would charge if you got it all in one lump sum in the beginning of the year. But the contrast is, says the Mishnah, let's say he sells him the field, not a rental, he sells him the field and he tells him, look, if you give me all the money up front right now, it'll be yours for 1,000 zuz. But if I'm going to have to wait for you till it comes the time of the threshing period, because then you'll have produce to sell and then you'll have capital to pay me up the money that you owe me, so I'm not going to get it right now, then b'shnei masa mana, then I'm going to charge you 12 mana, which is more. And that says the Mishnah, also that is forbidden. That delay, which you're going to charge more because you're not getting the money right away, by a sale is forbidden and by a rental is permitted. So ask the Gemara, Maishna Reishna, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reishna, the case of a rental where it is permitted, and by a Seifa where it's talking about a sale where it's forbidden? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Yisuf Damar Tavaya. Both Rabbi and Rav Yisuf tell us as follows. When it comes to Schiris, according to the basic law of a rental, Eina Mishtalemes Ela B'Seif. The halacha only requires that the payment of the rental to be paid at the end of the rental, at the end of the lease. Therefore, v'hai, this person, kivnu le'mote zimnu le'migva, the one who's renting it out, since it's not time yet for him to be paid up, So when he takes the selah every month, which is going to turn out to be 12 sloim, lav agar notrole, that higher price that he's charging, if he's not getting the money up front, he's not charging for the delay of money, because the truth is, that is the primary payment, because he's not supposed to be paid. He's not owed until it is that month, when it is the end of that period of that schiris. So to the contrary, mishvuhu dahachi shavya, that is the status quo. That's how much it's worth. It's worth 12 sloim a year because the payment is only going to be at that point in time, because that's when it's owed. It's only owed after that month, every single month. When it's over, that's when he's owed that money. Now, b'hai dekamarle, now this that he tells him, imme achshavat tenoislim, but if you give me the money now, up front, before the rental is over, then I'm going to give you a good deal. I'm going to give you 10 sloim for the year, meaning if the guy's going to give money before he owes it, so then what the one who's renting it out is essentially doing, he's being meichel, he's downgrading the payment of how much the rental really is. He's making it cheaper for the person, less than the value. But the starting point is the higher price, because the payment really is only at that later point in time. But Sefer, in the Sefer, when it talks about a sale, Kivin Dizvinin, and since it's a sale, so from the moment that the buyer draws near to him, he does meshicha on the object that he's buying, that moment is when he really owes the money. And truthfully, the seller should be taking the money right now. Now, Hilkach, therefore, when he tells him, if you give me money right now, so it's going to be for you for 1,000, that is the primary money. Now, when he says, but he's going to charge more, if you only pay him later on by the garden, by the threshing period, which then you'll have capital, then you'll pay him up, that agar notra lehuva asr. That's charging money for the delay of money, and that's forbidden. So that's the difference between rental and the sale. Which one is the primary? By a rental, the primary is later. So that is the primary payment. You're not charging more for that. It's just charging less if you pay up front. Whereas by a sale, the primary is right now. He's supposed to pay right now. If you wait till then he's going to be charging more. That's what's called agar notra. You're charging more for a delay of money. It's like a loan that he owes you, which he's only paying a later point in time, but he's going to be paying more. That is the conceptual framework of ribis, which is usur in this case of agar notra. Now, more of Amar Rava, he says, Dakuba Rabbanan b'ha milsa, the Rabbanan, they searched after to find this principle that we're talking about, that there's a fundamental difference between when is the payment liable for a rental versus a sale, that a rental is only actually when it's over, in contrast to a sale is right away. And they actually found support for this, to allude to this on a pasuk, that the payment of schiris is only at the end, the pasuk in Vayikra. It says, kisachar shana b'shana, like the rental of a year in a year. Now, what's the extra word, kisachar shana b'shana? Says the Gemara, schiris shoshana zu. What it's saying is that the rental of this year, eina mishtalem es ele b'shana acheres. That it's b'shana, it's in the next year. The payment for this year's rental of this year's lease is only the next year, because schiris eina mishtalem es ele b'saif. The payment for rental is not in this year. It's when the year's over, and when it's next year, that's the primary payment. And therefore, actually, the chaydish b'chaydish was the primary. The one who wants to pay beforehand, that's making it cheaper. And therefore, that's not agar notra when he's charging more when it's the later, because that is the primary payment when it's supposed to be by rental. Now, the Gemara continues explaining this halacha, the Mishnah, that it said that regarding a sale, if he says, which again, the sale is you're supposed to pay what it is right now, so he says, if you don't pay me right now, vim lagarin, I have to wait to the threshing period, which is you're going to pay later, then I'm going to charge you more, b'shnayim asa mana, I'm going to charge you then 12 mana, which says the Mishnah asa, it's forbidden, like we explained, because that's agar notar. He's charging more for waiting for his money, which is essentially a loan that guy owes him, and he's charging more for that. So Amar of Nachman, he explains that, however, there are cases that are permitted. Tarsha, which is if somebody sells merchandise, and because of the delay, he charges more for the price, says Rav Nachman that that's actually going to be shari. It's actually permitted. Now, as long as he doesn't specify these two choices, meaning, although our Mishnah makes it sound like it's forbidden, when we spoke about the sale, that's only because the Mishnah says that the guy's telling him two options. If you pay me now, I'm going to give you cheaper. If you pay me later, I'm going to charge you more. So that's why it's forbidden, because that's obviously agar notar. But says Rav Nachman that if he doesn't say anything, he just says that you have to pay me by that date, and he gives him a more expensive price, says Rav Nachman, that is tarsha, that is permitted. That although it's a delay and it's being charged more, but since he's not contrasting it with now versus then, so it's not creating this discrepancy, this disparity to create an obviousness of agur nutter, then it's going to be permitted. Now on that, Eitzvei Rav Min Bachamala Rav Nachman. Rav Bachama asked Rav Nachman, Bamrilan, some say there was Rav Ukva Bachamala Rav Nachman from the Halach of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ve'im l'gari Mishnei Masar Mon Asar. Our Mishnah said clearly that if you're creating a delay for the payment, and therefore you're charging more, that it's forbidden. So how did Rav Nachman say that Tarsha, which is this concept about delaying the payment and therefore charging more, that it's permitted? So Amalei, Rav Nachman says to him, no. Hasam Katzle, and this is what we just alluded to before, in the Mishnah, he said, if you pay me now, I'll charge you less. So he's explicitly specifying that the reason why you're going to be paying more if you pay me by the Geirin is because I have to wait for you. So that's what's called Ketzitza. It's setting it up beforehand. Hachalik Katzle, in the case I'm explaining to you of Tarshish, he didn't set it up before. He didn't give him any of those options. It wasn't said that I'm going to charge you more for the delay, which is what essentially what Ribbis is. He just says, no, you have to pay me by that date, and it's going to be this expensive price. That is permitted. Now, Amar HaPapa, HaPapa says, Tarsha Didi Shari. The Tarsha that I do is permitted. Now, what Rav Papa did was he would make date beer, and he would sell it in the season of Tishrei, which is when the beer is cheaper, but he would charge the prices of Nisan, which is when it's more expensive. And the reason why he was able to do that was because he wouldn't make the consumers pay for it right now. He would wait till Nisan when, let's say, they had money. And then they would come, they would pay him at Nisan time the more expensive. But they would take the beer in Tishrei, which then is not so expensive, it's cheaper. They wouldn't pay that cheap price, they would pay expensive price, which again, that's Tarsha, which is for the delay of collection of money, he charging a more expensive price. So explains our Papa my time. What's the reason? So he said, I'll tell you my logic. My beer doesn't get ruined, meaning I don't have to get rid of my merchandise. I could hold on to it until Nisan. It'll be perfectly great beer. Now, in other words, they're not doing me any favors. Moreover, I don't need money. They're not doing me favors by paying me because I'm a wealthy person and I'm not in a pressurized situation that I have to sell the beer right now so that I could get it out right now. I don't need to sell now at the cheaper price. My beer will make it, and I personally, financially, will also make it. I can delay up until Nisan time. So therefore, says Rav Papa, Anahu deka avidna milsa gabi lekeach. I'm doing them a favor. They could go ahead and take beer now. It's Tishrei time. It's Yom Tovim. They need beer. Where are they going to get it? I'm providing for them. So therefore, it says him, I'm not violating any issur of agur nater because I don't get anything out of this. I don't need their favors. I'm doing them a favor. My beer will make it. And therefore, I could wait till Nisan when I'll get the more expensive price. So the fact that I'm charging them the more expensive price because they're only going to pay me then for what they're buying now, that's not agur nater. Now, on that, Amalei Rav Sheshes B'Rei Rav Ila Rav Papa, he asked him, he says, wait a second. My chazi mar, what did the master, you Rav Papa, see fit to ka'azlus bada didach? You're viewing this halachic situation from purely your lenses, from your situation. So he said to him, zil basa didhu. Look at it from their perspective, from that of the consumers, where in regards to them, it's most definitely agur nater that they're paying the master more. Because the ilo havalu zuzi, if the consumer would have had money, so it's Tishrei time, it's a lot of beer here to be bought at cheaper prices. Now, have a shakla kihashta, so they would have bought it as it is right now. Hashta deles lazuzi, but now that they don't have money, shakla kiyukra delakamei, now they're paying more expensive price. Why? Because of agur nater. Because they're not paying you right now, because they don't have money, and it's the delay of payment that they're being charged more. You're right, for you, it's not agur nater, but for them, it is agur nater, and therefore it should be forbidden because of agur nater in regards to the lekeach. Amar Abchama, he says a third type of tarsha. He says, tarsha didi vadishar. He says, my tarsha is definitely permitted. Now, what Rav Chama did was, he was someone who sold merchandise. So he would sell his merchandise to merchants in a place where it was cheap. But he would charge them the value and the market value of how much it sold in the more expensive places. Then he would wait for them. They would take the merchandise, these merchants that he sells it to for the expensive price, to the more expensive place. And moreover, Reb Chama would take responsibility for their whole trip. Any liabilities is on Reb Chama. Now, the merchants would gain by when they would sell the merchandise, they would take the money that they made and they would bring it back, they would bring it to where they were going. Now, the responsibility of the return was on them. But what they would do is that since they didn't accept responsibility for the whole trip up until they sold Reb Chama's merchandise, essentially explains Rashi, it was not considered a loan that Reb Chama was giving to them until the merchandise was sold. Then they got the money. Then those monies they would use for Reb Chama to invest in their own business, and then it became a loan. So therefore, there's no element of ribis over here. The way you would view it as ribis is because you have this delay of payment that they're giving for Reb Chama, and in that delay, the money Reb Chama gave them, the merchandise, he's getting back more than what he gave them. And that says, and this is actually the source for the halacha of Heter Iska, as we're going to see, that's in halacha where it's brought from this concept, where that we're saying that it's not considered halva. It's not a loan. Because to the contrary, it was always considered basically that they're just a shliach of Reb Chama. It's considered Reb Chama's, and they're just doing a mission for him. And this that they're taking the although he sold it to them, but it's considered really in Reb Chama's rishus, and he takes all responsibility. And up until when it's sold, then they take that money, and that money they're going to give back exactly what they took and give it back to Reb Chama. But the profits of that sale, which Reb Chama is getting back more than what he gave, that's just considered as if they're doing an agency for Reb Chama. And therefore he says, my tarsha, which in other words is that although I give and I get back more than what I gave because I'm only getting back months later when they give it back to me, is okay because, again, it's not considered as a halva. On that asks the Gemara, my time, what is the reason? As Taisa explains, the Gemara's question is that even though, as we explained for Reb Chama's halacha, that Reb Chama takes all responsibility, all liability, and therefore it's not like he's selling it to them, it's really considered like it's his and they're just a shliach of him. But the problem is that those merchants who were considering them the agents of Reb Chama, they're working for him to bring his merchandise and sell it in that other place. Why are they doing that? That's a lot of work. It's only because after they sell it and they make a profit from Reb Chama, they could take that money and use it and to invest for their own purposes as a loan. And then yes, they'll give back that loan, what they borrowed from Reb Chama, besides the profits that he made, and they'll give it back to him. But the problem is that is ribis. That's ribis because they're giving him not just the money that they borrowed back to him, they're also giving him something more. The work that they're doing, which is delivering and selling the stuff for him. That should be a problem about ribis. So that says the Gemara that no. Nicha lohu delekir b'shusi. Explains Reb Chama, the agents prefer that it should be considered in my domain, the way we just explained it up until now, that it was really never a loan. It wasn't their money up until they sold it. It wasn't a sale either. It was really always considered Reb Chama's, and they prefer that. In other words, the work that they're doing for me, because they're like my agents, they want that. So it's not like they're giving that for me. It's really for them. Why? Because the chalecha dukaze, because wherever they go, shafkilu mafsa, first of all, they don't charge them taxes. Evanakalu shuka, they hold up the marketplace for them. They announce that no one's allowed to sell until they sell, but which is the halacha when you're an agent for a Talmid Chacham, which is what Reb Chama was, they hold up the whole situation. And that's even on their way back. Everything is really for themselves. Because they want it like that. They benefit by being the agent. So the fact that they're working for him, it's not for Reb Chama. They're not giving anything more for him. It's for themselves, that tircha. And therefore, says Reb Chama, that is permitted. It's not considered as if he's getting back more than what he gave to them. And therefore, that's what he says, that his tarsha is definitely permitted. Now, the Gemara continues on the base and says, so the Hilchasak Rav Chama, the halacha is like this halacha of Reb Chama that was just quoted, that his tarsha, which again, in halacha is brought out, which the concept known as Heter Iska, that there are certain business dealings that are done this way, which a person lends the money, but again, as we said, although he's giving them this product and he's going to make more than what he gave, it's not considered a loan. It's considered that they're just working for him, as we explained this concept, which is that they prefer to do the work for him because they're gaining actually off of that. And what they are borrowing is only later after the sale, but the actual sale, which the one who gave them the money is getting profit, is always considered his. It's not considered that he lent them and they're giving him back more than that. Now, Rabbeinu Tam just points out that the halacha is actually like the Tarsha of Rav Nachman too. From the fact that the Gemara tells us later on, that the halacha is not like Rav Papa in regards to his Tarsha. The inference is that the rest, the other two types, Rav Nachman and Rav Chama, is the halacha is like their Tarsha, that you could do that. Now, the reason why it says over here, the halacha is like Rav Chama, is only coming to exclude that of Rav Papa. And the reason for that is because Rav Papa's and Rav Chama's Tarsha are very similar. So we're contrasting, Rav Chama is not like Rav Papa. But Rav Nachman's is a whole different type of Tarsha. So we weren't contrasting that, and it doesn't mean that halacha is not like Rav Nachman. Because by Rav Nachman, it was only permitted because, as the Gemara said, it wasn't cuts. It wasn't set beforehand in the contrast saying that, oh, like in the case of the Mishnah, where it's like, okay, either this price or later on I'm going to charge you more price. It was just, he just gave the later price for that amount, which that's permitted. It's not agar natar. But Rav Papa and Rav Chama, they were both talking about even if it was set or if the shahr was set, which is like a set, like as if he made up before and that you could either do now or later, that is what we have to contrast it to, and therefore, like the Gemara had a question on Rav Papa, so we don't pass in like Rav Papa, but we do pass in like the Tasha of Rav Chama that is permitted to do that. Moreover, the Hilchasa Kribalazar, Hilchasa Kribalazar, which we mentioned previously, that when this ribis ketsutsu, when it's biblical ribis, then we take back the ribis, the interest from the lender, through the courts and give it back to the borrower. And the Hilchasa Kribiyane, Hilchasa Kribiyane, the Amma that we quoted this, that he said on the Afsamach Gimlam and Aleph, Mali Hen, Umali Demehen, that when we're allowed to do a Pisuk Al HaPeiris, either because Yeshloi or because Yatz HaShar, when then he goes to collect that, he doesn't have to give back just the payris itself that he promised him, that he gave a forward payment, and then he's giving, even though the price goes up, he's giving it back. Then, as we pointed out, it's even if he gives him back the money, it's not a problem like those who argue, like Rav, who says that, no, that looks like ribis, that is going to be permitted. It doesn't make a difference if it's the object itself, the payris, or the money. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this halacha of ribis. Says the Mishnah, mocha lo yasa sadeh. If somebody sells to someone else a field, now the consumer didn't have all the money, give him a down payment, give him some of the money. Now, so the seller tells to the buyer, he says, look, whenever you want, bring the money and take what is yours. Says the Mishnah, so it's usher to do that. Now, as Rashi points out, it's specifically if he tells him that when you bring the money, when you give the rest of the money, it will be acquired to you, the field, from right now. Now, that's why the Mishnah says it's forbidden to do that. And the reason for that is because either way, you're going to run into trouble. Because what are you going to do with the produce in the meantime? So as Rashi points out, either way, it's problematic. If the meicher, if the seller who owns the field, until the guy comes and pays, if he's going to be eating the payers in the interim, the problem is, when the consumer finally brings the rest of the money, it's going to come out that the field retroactively was really owned by the lekeach from the day that it was sold. So it turns out that the meicher who was eating the peiris, even though it wasn't his field because it's the lekeach, not retroactively, was eating the peiris for delay of payment, which that's agar natar, that's forbidden because of ribis. And if the consumer is going to eat the peiris from right now, so then the problem is if, let's say, he doesn't end up bringing the rest of the money, so then the meicher is going to give him back the money that he received from him. So it comes out that the field was never the lekeach's. So therefore, essentially what it is, and the reason why it was never his, because he said that when you bring the money, then it's going to be yours from now, but he never brought the money. So it turns out that the original monies that he gave to the seller, it never ended up being a sale, and so it turns out that it was actually a loan by the seller. So it comes out that the consumer was really the lender, was eating payers for the reward of the loan that he gave to the seller. So therefore, either way, you run into problems. Either way, you could run in that it's going to be ribis, either for the lender eating or for the meicher eating or for the lender, meaning the lekeach, and therefore it's forbidden. But says the Mishnah, Hilveyo al sadehu v'amaloi. If let's say he lends him money on his field as collateral, v'amaloi, and the lender tells to the borrower, if you don't pay me the loan from today's date up until 3 years, then the field will be mine, although the field, let's say, is worth more than how much the loan is, but that was the collateral, and he says, and it's actually going to be mine then, it's over. Says the Mishnah, so then it is going to be his, which the Rishonim discuss at length. How does this work? Why is this not a problem about ribis? Which the Rishonim say a terminology of that it's ribis al derech knas, which is it's not really interest for a delay of payment of money. It's just that there's a penalty that happens in a split second, which is if you don't, then it becomes mine. So that's not ribis. And therefore, that's permitted. That's what this person, Baisa Ben Zayin, used to do. With the agreement of the sages, they said he's allowed to do that, and that's what he used to do. So he'd give out loans, and if people would default, he would get a great deal. He would get the field, and it would be his. Now, the Gemara introduces the following halacha, which is related to the halacha of the Mishnah. The Gemara is talking about a case about somebody who sold something, let's say a field. And like the case of the Mishnah, he received some of the money. So ask the Gemara, which is like the topic of the Mishnah, as we'll see that depends what the situation is. Like the halacha of the Mishnah was a specific type, what the halacha is going to be. So mi eichel peiris. So who eats the produce in the interim? He only paid some of the money, not all of the money. So who owns it to eat the peiris? As we said, because if it's the wrong person, it could be ribis. So the Gemara says, a machlekes. Rav Huna Amar, he says, meicher eichel peiris. He says that it's the seller that eats the produce. Now, as Rashi points out, the Gemara shortly is going to say that actually it's not a machlekes, but it sounds like it. He says the seller eats the peiris. Rav Huna Amar, he says no. Mishalshin es ha-peiris, you go and you deposit the peiris by a third party. Now, what's the purpose of that? So it's very simple. If the sale ends up going through, so you give it to the consumer because it was his. If it doesn't go through, then you give the peiris back to the seller and he gives the money back, whatever down payment was given, he gives it back to the consumer and he takes his own peiris. Says the Gemara, v'loy pligi, they're actually not disagreeing. Why? Because it depends on what the case is. Hada amr l'chi maisis kani. When did we say that the meicher eats the peiris? It's when he tells him that when you bring me the money, then you will have acquired the field. So in that situation, the field is not acquired to the lekach, only from that point and on. But up until that point, up until he brings all the money, it's the meichers, it's the sellers, and therefore he could eat his own peiris. Ha, but this that Rabbanan said that you mishalshin es ha-peiris is the amr l'chi maisis kani me'achshav. And this is like we said in the halacha of the Mishnah, that's why we have to give it to a third party, neither the seller or the consumer could eat it, because that is a condition, meaning if you fulfill the condition, and you'll end up paying all the money, then the field will be acquired to you, but from today. And if he fulfills the condition, meaning which is that he ends up paying the money. So it turns out that if the meicher was eating the peiris, he was eating the peiris of the lekeach up until now, which was for the delay of the payment of the money, which is the problem about ribis of agronatzer. And therefore, in that situation, no one could eat it. You got to deposit it by a third party. Now, continuing on this halachas and codifying it, so Tani Rav Safra beribis de Rav Chiya. So Rav Safra taught in the halachas of ribis in the yeshiva of Rav Chiya the following halachas. He said, Pamim at times, Shashne Mutarin, that both the Meich and Lekech are permitted to eat the peiris of this field. Pamim Shashne Masurim, sometimes they're both forbidden. Upam Shameich Mutab Lekech, so sometimes it's the seller who's permitted and the consumer is forbidden. Upam Shalekech Mutur Meich, and sometimes the consumer is permitted to eat the peiris and the seller is forbidden. Meaning, in such a case where the guy paid only some of the money, in these situations you could sometimes have these four different halachas. So, it wasn't explicit in this Mishnah that Rav Safra had taught, when is it that both are permitted, when is it that both are forbidden. And so Rava comes in his logic, and Ani Rava Basre. So Rava came and answered afterwards to explain. He says, I'll explain to you when you have these four different scenarios. He says, Pa'amim Shashneim Mutarim, sometimes they're both permitted, is the Amale Knei Kishir Zuzach. The seller told him, he says, look, acquire proportionally according to the amount of money that you're paying. I mean, we made up to that, I'll sell the field for $100. You only gave 50 so far, so you get half the field. You give 25, you get a quarter of the field. You acquire in the field according to the amount of money that you give. So therefore, when you give the rest of the money, then you'll acquire it, but that's what we're saying, that he's going to be able to eat the peiris of the field according to proportionate to the amount of money that he gave, and the meicher will eat the rest. So in this field, both the meicher and the lekeach could be eating. The Braisa said that sometimes they're both forbidden. What case is that? That's like the case of our Mishnah. That's the case, like we said, from Avon of Mishalshim. The Amale that he tells them, L'chimaisis, when you bring the rest of the money, then you'll acquire everything me'achshav from now. That's like we said before, that both of them are going to be forbidden. Pa'amim meicher mutter, b'l'keichasa. Sometimes the seller is permitted to eat it, and the consumer is forbidden. That is the Amale, L'chimaisis kani. That's like, as we said before, where he says that when you bring the money, then you'll acquire it. But what that means to say is, up until he brings the money, it's still the seller's field, and therefore the seller is permitted and the consumer is forbidden. And pa'am shalikech mutu meicha, so sometimes the consumer is permitted to eat it, even though he only gave some of the money, and the seller is forbidden. That's the Amalei Konim Achshav. That's if the seller tells him, look, you acquire it from now. V'zuzei lahavei halvo gabach. And the money that you owe me will be like a loan that you owe me, but the field is sold to you right now. So since he acquired it right now, so then it's the consumer's. And if the meich would be eating the peiris, he would be eating because of the money that's owed to him, which is a loan, and that would be considered the reward of hamtanas mois, which is the isra of ribas. So therefore, that explains all those four cases. So the Gemara explains, man tana shnei masurim. Who is the tana of our Mishnah, like the case in the Brisa, that says that both are forbidden in the case of when he says that you'll be kainim ha'achshav, when you end up paying all the money, which we explained already in the Mishnah, what's problematic with the meicher or lekech, depending on the situation, if the guy ends up paying or he doesn't end up paying, that it's going to be ribis either way. Some Rav Huna Breida Rishui explains, the like Rabbi Huda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Huda. Because the Rabbi Huda, if it's like Rabbi Huda, ha'amah, he says, tzad echad beribis mutter. When there's only one option coming out of it being ribis, but it might come to ribis, might not come to ribis. How so? If the meicher eats the peiris, and the lekech doesn't end up concluding the sale, doesn't pay the rest of the money, so then there's no ribis, because it was the meicher's, because it was based on the condition for it to be a sale retroactively, only if he ended up paying the money, and he didn't. Now, if he did conclude the sale, then there would be ribis. So it's only tzad echad beribis. One option that might turn out might be ribis, another option might not turn out ribis, so therefore, it's not like Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda holds that even if it ends up being the ribis way, since that was not definitive, it wasn't definite, so then it's permitted. Now, as Rashi points out, but regarding the seifa of the Braisa, which said that there are cases that the meich is permitted in lekech is aser, or lekech is permitted in the meich is aser, says Rashi, even Rabbi Huda would agree to that halacha. And the reason being is because there, most definitely, is going to be ribis. Because when the seller tells to the lekech that when you bring the money, you'll acquire it, what that means to say is that right now, lekech has no share in it whatsoever. And even if he concludes the sale, it's only from that point on. So therefore, the payers right now are considered ribis to the lekech because of the money that he did give that the seller gets to use. If the lekech eats it, lekech is eating ribis money for his giving that short amount of money to the seller. So that Rabbi Huda would agree to. That's definitely ribis. And so too, when he tells him that I want you to acquire it from now and the money is just a loan, it's okay, you could give me the money when you owe me, but it's considered yours from right and now at this point. So that means to say it's totally owned by lekech right now. And if the meicher would eat peiris, that would be ribis, because he would be charging for the waiting for the money to get paid. He'd be eating those peiris. That would be ribis. That even Rabbi Huda would agree to those two halachas. But regarding that second case of the Braisa, which was when both of them are forbidden, it's this case that we said is not going to be like Rabbi Huda because it's only tzad echad beribis. So too, the Gemara brings another Braisa that concludes not like Rabbi Huda. Mishkin loy bayis. If the borrower gives collateral to the lender for a loan, he gives to the lender a house. Or mishkin loy sade, or he makes collateral his field. Now, v'amale, the lender tells to the borrower, l'kshatirtza l'marchem, when you're going to want to sell this house or this field, l'itim krim elali. I'm your lender, you owe me money, it's even collateral for me. But if you're going to sell it, the condition is you have to sell it to me, b'dam halalu, with this amount of money. Now, he gives him a low estimate for how much he wants to pay for the house if the guy wants to sell, which is going to be actually increasing the value that he's getting back for the money that he's lending him because he's shrinking the price of the sale, says the Braisa, so that's aser. But b'shav yehin mutter, but if he's going to pay when he's going to have to sell, he's going to charge him the regular price that he would charge anyone else, so that's permitted because he's not getting any more benefit the fact that he lent the money, he's paying the retail value. So says the Gemara, man tana b'dam halalu asa. So who's the tana of this Bryce that says that if he charges him, if he's going to ask for a lower price that to sell to the lender, that then it's forbidden? So Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yishui says the loyker b'Huda. That Bryce is not like a b'Huda. The year b'Huda ha'omet tzad echad b'ribis mutter. Because if it's like a b'Huda, he says that if it's not definite the outcome that's going to be interest, and it's only one out of the two options, let's say it's going to be ribis, then it's going to be permitted. Now, this case also, because it might not come to ribis, because maybe the borrower will never decide to sell it. And therefore, according to b'Huda, even if he decides to ultimately sell it, he's allowed to take the money that he made up that he's going to charge him for less, meaning for the which is going to be interest on the loan, because in initial of the tenai, of the condition, there was only one option coming out, but the other option was not definite, and therefore, according to b'Huda, it actually would be permitted. Now, so too, the Braisa continues over there. It says a different case. Machur le'bayis. Let's say somebody sold someone a house, and he gave him all the money, or machur le'sada, or he sold him a field. Now, but V'amaloi, but the seller told to the buyer, says, look, on this condition I'm selling you my house or my field, that l'kishayuli mois, that when I will have money one day, hechzirmli, you'll give me back my house or my field, and then you'll take back your money. Says the b'raisa, asur, that's forbidden. Now, the reason for that is because it really turns out that it really wasn't a sale, because if he gives him back the money, he's going to have to give him back the house. So it turns out all that time period when this guy was using that guy's house, or let's say his field, when he was consuming the peiros, essentially, it was on the loan that he lent. It was really a loan. He's lending the seller, because it's not really a sale, because he could just give him the money back and he gets his house back. So it's a loan. So he's taking profits on that loan by using the field all that time. That is agar natr. That is prohibited because of ribas. Now, but if like sheyu lacha mois achzirm lach, but says the b'raisa, let's say the consumer on his own, out of his goodwill, he tells to the seller, look, when you have money, don't worry, I will give you back your house. Says the b'raisa, then mutter, then is permitted, which the Gemara later on is going to explain why is it any different than the case of the reisha. It's essentially the same thing. Just one the meicher saying, one the lekeach saying, that the Gemara will explain. So the Gemara asks, man tano, who is the tano of this b'raisa? And it's focusing on the iser part of it. The fact that we said that if the seller tells him, but when the time comes, you give me back my money, that it's forbidden, who's that like? So again, says the Gemara, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, deloy kibbutz, that's not like a behuda. Because the ear behuda was going like a behuda, ha'amr tzad echem beribis mote. He says that if it's only definite that it's going to be ribis, then it's forbidden. But if it's only one option, then it's permitted. And here also, it's not definite, it's not definite he's going to have one day money and he's going to take it back. So since it might never be interest, even if he does take it back, that is going to be permitted. So therefore, the price is not like a behuda. Now, the Gemara asked the question that we alluded to just before, Maishna Reishna, Maishna Seifa. What is the difference between the Reishna when the seller says, when I have money, you'll have to give it back to me, or in the Seifa when the consumer said, when you have money, I'll give it back to you, that then it's Mutter, whereas in the Reishna, it's Asr. So Maravi explains, because Seifa, the Omale Midaite. The Seifa is different because it's the consumer who's saying, out of his own volition, on his own terms, that says, look, if I want to, I'll give it back to you. But not that you could take me to court for this. Now, that's why it's permitted, because even if he ends up giving it back to him and takes his money back, but up until that point, it was his. It's just that he decides now to sell it back to him. Now, in contrast to the ratio where he has to give it back, because that's the conditions that the seller's making, well, that really means to say it was really never a sale. It really was essentially a loan, and therefore there it's usr and the seif it's mut. Now, Gemara brings a story that will relate to this halach of Rava. So somebody who sold his field to his friend without taking any responsibility, with no liability. In other words, that if his creditor will collect from an old loan that he has and he's going to take his assets, which he's selling to this guy, he said, I'm not going to pay you anything back. Now, as Rashi points out, it's talking about where he specified these terms in the contract, because if it wasn't specified in the contract, actually, the Gemara told us enough to Tezvav Mabei, like Rava, that if achrayis, if liability, if taking responsibility from the seller is not written in the document, we actually assume that it was a scribal error, and he actually does have liability. So it means to say that he specifically wrote in the document that I'm not taking responsibility. So chazi dehava ka'asav, so he saw that the buyer was depressed, was sad, was down. So Amalei said to him, Amai tzibis, why are you so sad? Don't worry. Itarfila minach, if my creditors will collect from you the field, magvina lach shufra, I'll pay you from the best of my properties that I have, and even shivcha, even what you're going to make the field better, upeiri, and the produce that is in the field that they're going to grab away from you, don't worry, I'm even going to compensate you for all that. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. So Amma Mema said, as we continue on top of Samachvah Medalev, pitume mili ba'almahud. This was just words of seduction. He wanted to console the guy. The guy shouldn't be sad, but it's just words at the end of the day. He just wanted to make him feel good and just, you know, give him words. But essentially, that's not the halacha. He's not taking any responsibility. And if his creditors do take it, he's not going to have anything on the guy who sold it to him. Now, that normally Rav Ashi Lameima, he asked, time am I? What's the reason why you say this? Seemingly, the reason why you say this is because kivin de lekeir by las nuye, since who should be making those terms that there's going to be responsibility? Who gains? The consumer gains, so that he has insurance that he'll get his money back. But who's making the conditions over here? Who's stipulating? It's the seller that's stipulating. So Amr, that's why you said, he's just telling him words, he's just trying to sweet talk him so that he goes along with it. But really, he's not taking real responsibility, because it should have been the initiative of the consumer. On that, asked Rav Ashi, El Masnita Diktani, but what are you going to do with the brayse that we quoted just before? The Braisa said, like, that when you'll have money, I'll return it to you, says the consumer to the seller. So then the braisa said, then it's mutter. Then that's permitted. That's not considered any problems of agranata of ribis. So what's that case? Because the meichu debay las noye. Who should have made the condition? As we said in the case of the reisha, the seller should have, because he's the one that wants his field or his house back. And meichu lo yasni. But in that case, in the seifa, the seller did not make the conditions of lekeach kamasni, and the consumer made the conditions. Now, but as Ravashi, but Vamrina, we had said on that braisa, Maishna Reshna Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the Reshna that it's Aser, where the seller made the conditions, and in the Seifa, where the consumer made the conditions, where it's going to be Mutter? And Vamar Rava had explained, oh, Seifa Domale Medaite. The reason why the Seifa is permitted is because Lekech said it on his own. Now, asks Ravashi Tamemer, Taima Domale Medaite, what you could infer from Rava's statement is because the consumer said it on his own terms, out of his own goodwill, but it's something that he could decide whenever he wants to. But as Ravashi, holoyo malimidaite, but if he didn't say it out of his own terms, then it would be forbidden. Now, obviously, we see that if somebody has to fulfill the conditions, that meaning when it wasn't on his own terms, then it's going to be asur. Therefore, as we explained, because it's not going to be a sale, and it's going to be like ribbis, like the case of the Reisha, that lo yamina pitumi mila ba'amahu. We don't just say that he's just sweet-talking the seller to say, don't worry, sell it to me. Don't worry, when the time comes, I'll give it to you. We see that, even so, that it wasn't the seller that made the conditions in the case of the Sefer. It was the Lekeach. The reason why Rava said the only reason why it's not going to be considered a problem is because he's saying it out of his own goodwill. But let's say he wasn't saying midaita, then we wouldn't say, even though it's lekech making the conditions as petumim alba, we would say that actually he would have to give it back, and that it would not be a mech, and it would be ribis and be aser. But you just said that when it's the wrong party who should be benefiting makes the conditions, then that has no standing. Here we see that it would have standing if it wasn't based on this, what Rav is saying, that he's only doing it midaita. So that omalei sameim responded to Ravashi, says, no. This havlach of Rava, to the contrary, it's exactly what I'm saying. Nasik command amali midaiti itmer. In other words, what Rava said when he explained to answer the Gemara's question, Maishna Reshna Maishna Seifa, that Rava said, in the case of the Seifa, since it's the Meicher that should have made the conditions and he didn't, and it's rather the consumer who on his own goodwill says, don't worry, when you have money, I'll give it back to you, says a Meimer, what Rava was trying to say was that it's as if he's saying that I'll give it back to you if I want to, even though he doesn't explicitly say that, it's like he said that. And therefore, you can't force him. Why? Says, I mean, because of my principle, because it's pitumim el ba'alma. So therefore, even if he wants to give it back, it's now that he decided to give it back. That's why Rava said it's going to be permitted, but it's actually based on, I mean, it says, on my principle. Rava's halacha, what he's saying, is not something different. It's not like he says, midaite, oh, look, if I want, I'll give it back to you. So that was Ravashi's question. It sounds like only if he said that. But if he doesn't say that, meaning, but he has to keep his word, then even though he's the one that took the initiative, it sounds like that he would be obligated. But Amemer said that no, if it's the wrong party, he doesn't have to. Says Amemer, no. What Rava was saying was, because he took the initiative, even if he doesn't say it's on his own terms, it is on his own terms, meaning he doesn't have to follow through, because it has to be the correct party that goes through and takes the initiative, because if it's the other party, like was in that story with what Amemer had passed in Alocha, that it's Petul, it becomes Petumim Ba'amu, and it's the other party who takes the initiative, since he's not really, why would he take the initiative? He doesn't want to be indebted, unless he would write a document. But since when he just says words, it's just words of consolation, but it's not actually taking responsibility. That's actually what the principle of Rava was contingent on. The reason why it's as if it's midaiti, that it's on his own terms, but he doesn't have to live up to it, is because it's the other party. It should have been the meicher that did that, but it was the lekeach, and therefore it's not going to be considered ribis, because it actually was a full-fledged sale, and when he ends up following through, it's then that he decides to follow through.